The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me today?
Chris Antista.
Henry Gilbert.
Token Jew Diana Goodman.
Awesome. We do
thank
have
a
token Jew. I'm allowed to say that.
You found one.
Yes. Diana is Jewish. She will be walking us through this episode and all of the words we don't understand. In case you want to know, this episode is Like Father, Like Clown, which aired on October 24th, 1991. Chris, what happened on this magical day in history in 1991?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Danny DeVito is topping the box office with other people's money. NBC brings country back to primetime with Hot Country Nights. And the best-selling book is Scarlet, a long-awaited sequel to a 50-year-old film.
Oh, wow. Boo. I take it not by the original author.
I grabbed that because Diana was here.
Oh,
because I have no context for the Gone with the Wind sequel book other than remembering the brouhaha around it being released.
Yeah, no. The original author was long dead.
I figured,
her estate finally hired a romance writer to write a sequel.
I mean, it was fan fiction, really. And I believe it put her back together with Rhett.
Of course. Right?
Yeah. I was hoping it wasn't one of those Harper Lee situations where it was like, you're clearly out of your mind and too old to know any better, so I'll steal this manuscript from you. That's what I think happened with that last book that she wrote.
Mm. Did we say mention Gone with the Wind? Has that...
Oh, it's the predecessor,
yeah.
The sequel to Gone with the Wind. I just want to make sure people got that.
Yeah, Scarlet, this time it's personal.
Because it's weird, but it does happen with almost everything we've ever loved.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like Transformers? Here's a comic.
You'll never stop getting Transformers.
Did you like Hard Boiled? Here's a video game.
And you'll never stop The Simpsons either.
You'll never stop
The
Simpsons.
There's a song about that in a bad episode. Yep. So yeah, this episode is all about exploring Krusty's Judaism. Mm-hmm. And it's revealed that he's Jewish for the first time, which really conflicts with his sponsorship of pork products. So where do you want to start with this episode, Chris?
This is one of the ones I remember the commentary from very specifically, in that they said they wanted to do this bad enough to where they had set up in advance that like Krusty's emblem in his studio is a Star of David.
Well, so this is an MVP's episode because it was written by Jay Kogan and Wally Walidarsky, who would go on to be the credited writers on what many saw as the best episode of the show, Last Exit to Springfield. Mm-hmm. They're, I believe, both Jewish, and they were interested in creating a story about Judaism. And meanwhile, Brad Bird, who is a Gentile, mm-hmm. he, though, loves Krusty.
Yeah.
He had directed Krusty Gets Busted. Mm-hmm. He was too busy to fully direct the episode, but he co-directed this one and added some of the best animation flourishes, including the Krusty face on his door is set against like another triangle to make
the
it
Star
in the shape of the Star.
I thought I remembered that they wanted to do this episode. They knew they were going to do it so that emblem appears in previous prior episodes because they knew they were going to make this parody.
I don't think it was that far in advance. I think the story in the commentary is like this was the plot line that was the hit of that year's writer's retreat. Everyone was like, we need to make a jazz singer. Oh my God, his name could be Krzysztofski. And it just kept bouncing ideas off of each other.
Diana, the name Hyman.
Yes.
I don't want you to look at my notes because I'm not sure how I smell. It should be mentioned because last year they killed this character.
Mm. Oh, you're right. I mean, they killed Fat Tony. Now they're killing off Hyman Krzysztofski.
Hyman Krzysztofski, Krusty's dead, played by the wonderful Jackie Mason.
He's still alive. He's now a plastic surgery monster. In case you've seen him,
I think it was last year. It was actually the 2014.
2014. Wow. Yeah. As someone I love The Jerk. God, I've explained this on many other podcasts. I saw Caddyshack 2 first, so that was the one I loved, and that stars Jackie Mason.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
In the Rodney Dangerfield role, who is the center of the film.
Yes.
Now playing
Can
this.
Can you
awesome
imagine that today?
Rabbi.
He was killed off in the 2014 premiere, which they implied we're killing off a character.
Guess which character could be? And it's Flanders, Burns, and who's this? Who's
it
going
to
be?
I remember once I saw that ad, and it had the heads of 12 possible people dying. In the bottom right-hand corner was Hyman's head. I was like, well, it's him.
He was never popular.
Exactly.
that was his third or fourth. He, during the era we consider classic, he never appeared again, but I think he has been... Krusty's had ever since.
Back a couple times.
There was an episode where Krusty got bar mitzvahed, and he was back on that one. But on this
one, we'll have you back in a year, in 2 years,
Dan. I liked how in this episode it began with. I think we've seen the end of a Krusty show so many times, and they change it every time. But this time, the animation of the final acts like is so awesome. And then it's an SNL close with just all of them like standing together for the good nights. And then they even mentioned Donna Mills, who is still active. Like, she is still an active actor. She was just in 2015's Joy.
And we do see some little scene Krusty the Clown Show characters like Corporal Punishment and Tina Ballerina, who might be in Krusty's Super Funhouse or Krusty's Funhouse, those video games.
Corporal Punishment is. Kills a lot of rats. But Krusty's...
Oh, and also, though, when the episode ends, he tugs on his ear, a reference to Carol Burnett.
I read that and couldn't find it.
I missed that.
Carol Burnett, at the end of every episode of the Carol Burnett Show in the 70s, she would tug on her ear at the end, which is a sign of saying, I love you, Grandma.
Aww. To her grandmother.
Died during the production of her show. So that was... No. They in this entire episode... Krusty became their vessel for all old Hollywood showbiz stories. Like, that's who he is.
And a lot of the writers worked for old-timey showbiz people. Yes. Like, Al Jean and Mike Reese wrote for Johnny Carson. And they apparently did not have a good time on that show. And they met him, like, twice.
Yes. I think later in the show, there's a definite, like, hatred for Johnny Carson coming down.
Based on the next couple episodes, there's a bunch of Johnny Carson jokes of, like, all right, we get it. Johnny's barely on TV at this point.
But Krusty, this is the furthest they've dug into Krusty, I guess, is a person and not a personality, and the whole episode begins with them canceling everything.
You've got a 4:30 merchandising meeting.
Cancel it.
Therapist?
Cancel it.
Personal trainer?
Cancel it.
The opening line on the Giants is 5.5.
Put a dime on it.
Thank you, dinner with Bart Simpson.
I don't know any Bart Simpson.
Krusty, he's the boy who saved you from jail.
Well, we made a terrible, terrible mistake. Won't happen again.
Well, there was one boy who trusted me all along. Bart?
Yes, sir?
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Cancel it.
We do find out Krusty is scrubbing the mildew out of his shower tile. That was his important, his important business.
I don't think the Simpsons have ever done a flashback using the footage from an old episode. And what a terrible time to do it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this episode is directed by Brad Bird and Jeffrey Lynch, who's a new director who I guess went on to direct a Spider-Man movie.
Well,
is that true?
No, he would direct a few later episodes in some later seasons. Then he would go on to the more profitable thing of being an animation or maybe the animation director for Spider-Man effects.
Okay.
So the special, like...
The cartoon in between the Tobey Maguire stuff.
Yeah, that's the secret of most superhero films, is that animators are needed to make the CG film around which you put Tobey Maguire.
They're secretly cartoons.
Characters.
Wow, I never thought of it that way.
And so that's what Jeffrey Lynch did, and he made a lot more money doing that than working on The Simpsons. But yeah, that's what he would go on to do. That flashback was an interesting, like, first appreciation of their continuity, which later it would build to in, like... the Box Factory episode where Bart reminds him of like four more things he does for him. He's like, and I'll never forget
it. I'll never forget it.
Also, kind of like Mr. Burns in that way.
Yeah. And also, that was Lois Pennycandy.
Yeah.
Who is, I think they clearly had bigger plans for her than this, and they just kind of dropped her.
I want to see more of her because I feel like they have a real kind of screwball comedy relationship. Yeah. She's kind of his gal Friday.
Yeah. Well,
carries a torch for him.
Her name is a direct reference to Moneypenny.
Oh, for sure.
The secretary of James Bond, who always has a fun tete-a-tete with him, but they never seal the deal. He's the one he can't get. And she's been carrying a torch for him. She's made minor appearances since then, but the most she ever appeared was like in the if Krusty needs to have an assistant in a scene, she'll be there sometimes. But like in the episode where Apu became the hot stud in town, she was one of the women who bid on him.
Oh, wow.
She has to cancel on Bart. I don't have any clips of the scene, but I love Bart's room showing a kid obsessed with a clown. I know this is Matt Groening's reference to his childhood, the Bozo era. I bring this up on every show I'm on, that... they invented clown characters to string together old theatrical cartoons from the 1940s to air on television. So in between, you'd have a character, coming up next, kids, Popeye! And then they'd throw to a local sponsor.
Yeah, and Bozo was a franchise. Each kind of network had their own Bozo. You could become a Bozo if you wanted to.
I was astonished when I finally saw Bozo and, like, around this time at my grandparents' house with no cable, that it was a show that was still on and exactly like this, really not funny.
Yeah, the Chicago WGN bozo is the true bozo in my book. But they were all super like Christian dudes in some cases. Like that's Brad Bird talks about how both him and Mac Groening grew up with what they thought the inspiration was for Krusty.
Oh, was it Rusty Nails?
Rusty Nails.
Oh, what an awful name for a clown.
Who was a very Christian clown.
And his sidekick, Tetanus Boy.
Pennywise.
Of all Bart stuff, I had to write down everything in the cologne bottle.
Oh, me too. I want to point out, Chris, like, I don't think I could read this with an SDTV. I don't think I've seen this episode with an SDTV.
I had to blow it up.
Yeah, I had to go frame by frame because it was so tiny and written in pencil.
Krusty's non-toxic cologne with a K. The smell of the big top,
awesome.
Which is a great gag. Warning, use in a well-ventilated area. May stain furniture. Prolonged use may cause chemical burns.
I don't think anyone could have actually read that during this episode's original airing. It's poorly written.
They have a name for the gags. In that episode guide, they talk about stuff. That's one of those jokes we made for VCR people.
Yeah.
For people who tape the show and want to pause stuff. Because you have no... And I hate that the modern show... pauses on everything to make sure you see the whole joke instead of being
That's
able to
really
notice it when you're watching it the second time.
I think you need a forehead VCR to read this stuff.
and he's singing the Steve Allen song, This Could Be the Start of Something Big.
This
song made famous by Steve Allen in the 50s, who would later go on to protest The Simpsons as being too dirty for television.
After he was a guest star.
Yes. Yeah. a multi-time guest star.
Yeah, Penny Candy convinces Krusty to go.
Sex chat! You're skipping sex chat?
Read this.
Oh, yeah, I am.
This is keeping the continuity of it.
Dear Krust. Why?
It says that the little boy who never lost faith in you has lost faith in you. Krusty, you are going to Bart Simpson's house for dinner tonight.
But I have plans. Hey, not the face.
Why, you maddening, impossible man. If you don't go tonight, I won't be here tomorrow.
Oh, all right, I'll go.
Oh, Krusty.
But I sure hate missing Schnapps Night at the Friars Club.
So is that an old comedy thing or an old Jew thing? That's what I want to clarify.
That's an old comedy thing.
That's what I figured.
But, I mean, most old comedians at the Friars Club were Jews.
I don't know.
Schnapps Night, though?
Schnapps Night.
What, you want to get diabetes or drunk?
I'm sure Alan King is watching over. But do you not have the sex chat thing?
Because
sex chat's right
I didn't.
Such a small piece, but I love it. Just this weird joke that comes out of nowhere.
I mean,
it's one you won't get if you were born in the last 5 years.
But I've seen sex chat. Referenced so many times to be online of just like, this is a club of full of men who thought they'd have a chance to meet women, but it's only other gross dudes.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is not as hot a party as I had anticipated.
I think I'm barely old enough to know what a party line is.
Yeah.
Mm. And party just means like more than one person, I guess.
And there were some tricks with your phone that you could call into these groups that was just one... phone that didn't hang up, and that I don't know, there were all these tricks with old phones. I feel like an old man just bringing it up.
But sex chat was just such a great sleazy joke, like you're talking to sex chat,
that it was you had to pay extra for the ability to talk to more than one person on a phone. Sorry kids, enjoy your Minecraft. But Krusty eventually finally is coming to the house.
Bart, wipe your feet.
Why bother? We'll just get dirty again.
I've got some good news. Krusty the Clown is coming to dinner tonight.
He is? For sure?
Yes.
God bless that clown.
But which God, Bart? You're about to find out.
Krusty comes over. I want to say, is this the first appearance of Mr. Teeny?
Yes.
It was not. I looked it up. It was not his first appearance.
Damn.
He'd been... sorry, I did not get where it wasn't, but I double-checked to be like, is this the first Mr. Teeny?
I always hit that Simpsons wiki because they tell you every appearance of every character.
Yeah. I didn't see it there, but I thought it was.
Krusty, you don't have to be on tonight.
What are you talking about? Of course he does.
No, Dad. Krusty is our guest. Your pratfalls and Punchinello antics aren't necessary here.
Really?
Yeah. Just relax and be yourself.
Oh, that's a relief. Oh, wait in the car.
we could have seen a monkey.
Love that line just because you did see a monkey, Homer.
Yeah.
And you commented on him. And then, so, like, reading over the Simpsons Wikia, which I do and do not sometimes when we do this show, but because it sometimes infuriates me, like this one. Goof, Krusty says to the monkey, go wait in the car, and then walks home.
Yeah.
I hope someone got fired for that blunder. Like,
did the monkey have a cigar yet?
Maybe the monkey just took the car.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mr. Teeny just said, fuck it, I'm leaving.
Captain of the Goofs of the Simpsons Wikia. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that Punchinello antics, that's a reference to the Italian clown type.
What?
Punch, yeah. Punchinello, but like, I believe the Puccini opera is about that dude.
This scene is the longest. It is probably the best, I don't know, one of my favorite moments of the whole show. The grace, where it all comes out.
Who wants to say grace?
Why don't we let our guests do it?
Bless us, oh Lord. Hey, Krusty, would you do the honors?
Well, all right. I'm a little rusty, but I'll try. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem, min haaretz.
Oh, he's talking funny talk.
Dad, that's Hebrew. Krusty must be Jewish.
A Jewish entertainer? Get out of here.
Dad, there are many prominent Jewish entertainers, including Lauren Bacall, Don Shore, William Shatner, and Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks is Jewish?
Krusty, are you all right?
Yes, it's just that saying the bracha brings back a lot of painful memories. The old days.
There's the clarinet.
My father.
A little klezmer for that ass.
A little clarinet leading into some klezmer stuff. Okay, so...
How accurate was that, Diana?
That is extremely accurate. Okay. That is the prayer that you say before eating.
How was Dan Castellaneta's pronunciation, though?
Pretty good.
Okay,
when
sorry,
I saw this at age 9, I was like Homer. I was like, what are these silly words he's saying? I don't know this thing.
My complaint with most people saying Jewy-type words is you got to hit the... real good. It's,
you got to hock that word.
Hamotzi lechem im haaretz.
By the way, Mr. Teeny's first appearance was Itchy and Scratchy and Marge.
Oh, right.
So just a background.
God, I lost a bit.
And I think we missed the obvious here. This is a parody of The Jazz Singer most of this episode. And this is where it starts. I mean, The Jazz Singer, basically the first talkie, the first movie with synchronized sound.
Yep.
And it's about a...
Not the Neil Diamond version. Don't even talk to me about that one.
1927.
Wow. Ouch. Wow. And I guess it's just about a very Jewish... a father who's upset with his son for not following in his footsteps. He wants to become a jazz singer.
Right. I forget if it's a rabbi or a cantor. Cantor is like a rabbi that sings all the prayers.
Okay.
Does he have the headgear and the curls?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just Orthodox Jews in general, right?
Yeah.
I just, like, I thought... Well, maybe the jazz singer reference is a little dated for today's audience.
Oh, yeah.
But I also thought that the looks of the Jewish guy, until I went to New York a couple of years ago, and like that's still
that's
a thing.
That's the Orthodox dress.
And I don't know if I said
black
that before.
Hats
what,
and
is,
the
what do you call it? The Orthodox?
Yeah, the Orthodox.
So it was Mike Grimm and I walking around, and like we got approached by a gang of them, and they were all hammered.
Wow.
In the middle of the day,
right
and like,
on.
hey, you Jewish? Like, no. All right. Like, did I walk onto the sequel to The Warriors? What the fuck happened?
The Warriors totally needed an Orthodox gang.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
I can't be in the same room with women, though. Keep us away.
No, you can be in the same room with women.
Oh, okay, fine. You can't touch them,
you can't touch women that you're not related to. Because that would insinuate they are a prostitute. So they are actually being respectful by not shaking women's hands.
Glad you're putting yourself out there for this one, Diane.
That's the best I can defend it with, man. I'm
Krusty.
Believe me, not Orthodox.
Yeah.
The point is, Krusty's father's a rabbi.
First of all, my real name isn't Krusty the Clown. It's Herschel Krestovsky. My father was a rabbi. His father was a rabbi. His father's father... Well, you get the idea.
By the way, his name would expand, as we know from the episode where he fakes his death, he's introduced as Herschel Schmoichel Krestovsky.
Wow.
But it has since grown to Herschel Schmoichel Pinchas Yurchum Yuruchum Krestovsky.
Well,
I know Pinchas is a name, or Pinchas is a name.
My favorite Jewish name in the episode is this next scene starts in front of Yiddel's joke shop.
I love you.
And it's the same shop Bart goes to later to get a disguise. So, like, it's just nice to know that little Israel in Springfield is still there,
it's
and so
great.
Is Yiddles.
It's another one of those Springfield has everything jokes. It has a gorge, now it has, like, a small Jewish community, like in New York
though
or something.
I will say
it's
this,
a port town, Springfield.
I don't think this connects with the Krusty biography we got from Kent Brockman in Krusty Gets Busted.
That's right.
Because he did not come...
You're the goof guy on the wiki.
But I did also love the line, a black velvet painting come to life.
I love it, yeah.
And it was funny just seeing Homer and Krusty at a dinner table together because the original gag on the shorts was that Krusty was going to end up being Homer in disguise. Yeah. That Bart hates his dad, but loves this clown.
The guy who looks exactly like him with a little makeup and a wig.
That's why Radioactive Man looks just like Homer, too, if I haven't said it before on here. But.
We introduced Jackie Mason, and his rabbinical advice is great. I want to steal his...
My father was the most respected man in the Lower East Side of Springfield. People would come from miles around to ask his advice.
Reb Krestovsky, should I finish college?
Yes, no one is poor except he who lacks knowledge.
Rabbi, should I have another child?
Yes, another child would be a blessing on your house.
Rabbi... should I buy a Chrysler?
Could you rephrase that as a ethical question?
Is it right to buy a Chrysler?
Oh, yes. For great is the car with power steering, kind of flow suspension.
Papa, when I grow up, can I be a clown?
No, clown is not a respected member of the community.
I want to make people laugh.
Herschel, life is not fun. Life is serious. Seltzer is for drinking. Not for spraying, fryers for noshing, not for throwing,
Papa, can't
but nothing. Do as I say, or you'll get such a zets that you won't even know what hit you.
What's a zets?
Smack.
Okay.
He's so good in this, Jackie Mason, that I on the commentary they talk about how they had to go to New York to record with him. He didn't come to them. That he won an Emmy for this. He was guest star to win an Emmy on the show. And that he died in the 2014 episode Clown in the Dumps. Mm-hmm. That Jackie Mason also came from a family of rabbis. Oh. And he broke from that to become a comedian. Though some people said he had kind of a rabbinical style as a comedian.
Bragging about his son.
Do you know that my son, Herschel, was first in his yeshiva class? As a matter of fact, he was voted the most likely to hear God.
Oh, go on, Hyman. You're exaggerating again. You're so proud of your son.
A rabbi would never exaggerate. A rabbi composes. He creates thoughts. He tells stories that may never have happened, but he does not exaggerate.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
That's one of those things that... This is like a huge top 10 episode, obviously, in my house, because there's so many jokes that are, you know, really aimed just at Jews. Mm-hmm. Storytelling rabbis is kind of almost like a running gag, because there's lots of like telling things through simile and metaphor sometimes of like, and, you know, and they're like, they're giving a sermon and all of a sudden it reminds me of the story of the wayward shepherd and the car salesman. And it's like, you know, it's a good technique for learning to, you know, teach something through a story, but it's also like, oh shit, I thought we were almost out of here.
Though the scene with him also with the seltzer in the bathroom, that is a reference to Philip Roth's port noise complaint.
Oh my god. No, I didn't expect it was a really heavy-handed jerking off reference. Yeah. I never would have gotten
that. The book is mostly about jerking off.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And a guy whining about sex a lot.
And so again, Philip Roth, Jewish novelist or guess writer in general. He did plays as well.
Krusty is disowned by his father as a result of being... I do have...
Oy vey mir. You have brought shame on our family. Oh, if you were a musician or a jazz singer, this I could forgive. But
singer?
This? I never want to see you again. You clown.
He references the movie they're referencing.
Yeah, I like how they hang a lampshade on it. Like, this is what we're doing.
But they do it twice in this episode.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, well, later on in the deli when he's when Jackie Mason's character
orders the Jackie Mason
sandwich. He mentioned his own
name. And for you, sir?
Oh, let's see. I want a nice sandwich, but the Joey Bishop, too fatty. The Jackie Mason, I don't know. Sauerkraut makes me guess. The Bruce Willis, I don't even like his work. What is this? Krusty the Clown?
That's ham, sausage, and bacon with a smidge of mayo.
What?
On white bread.
I didn't get that until
me
this
viewing.
Same here.
Me neither.
That
me
it
neither.
So insults him. It so insults Hyman that he like turned his back on his heritage so much to have like the whitest, gentiliest.
Gave up on
full of pork products. It needs cheese on there because that's another kosher thing you could break.
Wouldn't the mayonnaise be part of that because there's egg in it, or does that not matter?
Oh yeah, I guess it probably would.
And then white bread. No,
I did at the time get. I love the desperation of Reverend Lovejoy when they ask about a rabbi.
Reverend Lovejoy.
We need you to help us find a rabbi.
Well, before you make any rash decisions, let me just remind you that the church is changing to meet the needs of today's young Christians.
No, we're not converting. We just want to find a Rabbi Krestovsky.
Rabbi Krestovsky? Well, I do a radio call-in show with him every Sunday night.
Really? I didn't know that.
Gee, I mention it in my sermon every week.
that radio show. Oh, yeah, it's all the kids talk about on Monday at school.
Oh, well.
Gavin Belgod. There's one thing we missed. There's a bunch of scenes of the Simpsons trying to get Krusty out of the house. Yeah. He's looking through all their photo albums.
Yeah.
And there's one thing he does before he leaves. He says, ooh, the concert for Bangladesh.
I looked it up.
It's a 100-minute album. So he's just looking for something to buy him time to stay with his family.
I love the concert for Bangladesh is a famously long thing. Like, I would always put it on when I worked at a video store. Whoa. I wanted music in the background. I put it on.
George Harrison.
This will last 2 hours.
Spearheading a concert
just a year or two removed from the breakup of the Beatles. George Harrison, who was very in touch with India at the time, India and Bangladesh were not so happy with each other, and so he did a benefit concert. Ravi Shankar did it with him.
Former Krusty the Clown guest.
Yes, that's true. And actually, that future joke about Krusty hating his music but accepting it—that's how the concert for Bangladesh begins, because George Harrison's like, to the audience, I know you all came here to hear rock music, but we really should hear some of the music from this alien.
Okay, take your acid.
So please listen to Ravi Shankar. And him and his group do like practice. They're like, near, 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 like for just a minute. And everybody applauds. They're like, yay, that's it. He's like, that was us tuning up. If you liked that, then you're going to love this. 20 minutes. It's endless. I always skip it because then it goes straight to George Harrison rocking out.
I'm glad. Well, if I were a programmer for FXX, which runs Simpsons, I think, like 4 nights a week in giant blocks, I want to make a block of Bart and Lisa solving things.
Yeah.
I love those episodes. Lisa does all of the work, always. Yeah. That's what I love about it.
I did as a kid.
Spoon, Bart. Of course.
As a kid, when I saw... I didn't think it was sad, him being at the bus station, like, seeing a corn-operated TV that's right on a chair.
I didn't understand.
I want that.
I've never seen that in real life.
I saw him in airports.
Yeah, okay, airports. Yeah. I guess.
And we had a sad bus station in my hometown.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Are you already tired of 2016? Jump into the past with 302010, our weekly pop culture time machine podcast. Here's something you may remember from 1986.
Bob Hope had basically seemingly 10 specials a year on television back then, but this was
the worst.
Bob Hope's Royal Command performance all the way from Sweden for the King Gustav and Queen Sylvia.
That is some March SEO 19. Level bullshit. Yeah. Like,
and the
only boots. 70s kids will get this.
Bob Hope Ugg boots.
That's 302010, a weekly look at what happened in pop culture 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, every Thursday right here on the Laser Time Network.
302010! But the kids are trying to find Rabbi Herschel Krestovsky. Wait. Hyman Krestovsky.
Hyman.
In order to reunite him with his son.
Excuse us, Rabbi Krestovsky.
Oh, what can I do for you, my young friend?
We came to talk to you about your son.
I have no son!
Oh, great. We came all this way and it's the wrong guy.
I didn't mean that literally.
That is a direct Jazz Singer reference. Anytime something references I have no son, it's a Jazz Singer parody, including
especially
a Rocko's Modern Life episode.
I have no son!
I liked how he was in the non-Christian Rolodex, too.
I think in Old Money, Abe does the same thing, and he rips the cloth from his garment.
Yeah, you have to rend your garments in horror and shame or whatever. Yeah, when someone dies, you rend your garments.
Also, I love Krusty's depression that comes out when he watches the Itchy and Scratchy. His reaction. Oh, God, go to commercial. And it doesn't cut to commercial. Just
weeping into his arm. Yeah, and any scene that looks like this scene, it's slightly off-model but very expressive. It's Brad Bird.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a Krusty scene, he wants to at least animate one of them for an episode.
That's a secret of Brad Bird's career, is that even on on the features, well, up until Incredibles, but he always, on if he directed an episode of a show and directed Iron Giant, his feature, he said, I want to animate one scene, just my thing on it. In Iron Giant, if you're familiar with that film, the scene where Hogarth drinks cappuccino and is super buzzy.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
That was Brad Bird, did the the animation for it.
The expressiveness of Krusty is so good in this scene. Just, you know, the way his eyes are just sagging. He's so sad with his water.
It's also the Simpsons finding a way to do that within its own artistic template, because they did it a lot in the first season, but it's very off-putting to make someone completely off-model to compose a different shot.
I would love to see an entire episode animated like this. It's sort of like those Halloween comics they do where they get different artists to draw them and they don't stick to the style exactly. It's like, wow, this is what a Peter Baggs Simpsons would look like or whatever.
Yeah, I think Brad Bird had the stroke to be like, I'm just drawing this. Like,
yeah.
He also, I think, is pushy enough to just say, like, yeah, I'm going to draw this. This is me. Like, I don't care what your notes are. I'm Brad Bird. Even before he had the power to say, I'm Brad Bird.
Yeah.
Even
Matt Groening could complain about how off-model is. He's like, no, this is clearly awesome. I'll let you do this.
I just realized, did we even explain who Jackie Mason is?
Oh, we probably should.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He's Caddyshack too. What more is
he's
there?
He's a Borscht Belt comedian of the olden days.
Olden
days. Yep. The guys at the Friar Club with, like, Alan King and Henny Youngman.
There's a Catskills joke in here, I imagine, from there.
Yep.
I have to really recommend the Gilbert Gottfried podcast. Yeah. He interviews nothing but 90-year-old men, and they're all, like, most of them are ancient comedians who will tell you all these stories about when the mafia owned comedy, and it's great. It's so great,
When they call into Gavin About God, I also did love the guy's, like, very frank opening of, like, and in order to keep our broadcast license, we dedicate our Sunday night dead time to public service shows with limited appeal. In that spirit, Gavin About God.
I like that the kids have to go through Jewish books, the Jewish books being the Big Book of the Chosen People, Jewishness Revised, and the Views on Jews.
I think we did miss the porno movies, though, that Krusty walked by.
Yeah, those weren't
that
funny.
I did.
They were okay. For Your Thighs Only. The best one is Crocodile Done Me. And then
that was good, though.
Dr. Strange Pants, not so great. Crocodile Done Me is the best one.
I had to get a screenshot of Modern Jewish Father, like just a guy at a PC.
And when they call them in, when they do the Izzy's Deli trick and they call them there, that felt like such an increase of the show of, like, here's that what they would have done on Laverne and Shirley, but we've increased it to such a silly extent that no real person would believe he'd get the French Legion of Honor at Izzy's Deli.
And meeting Saul Bellow.
Yeah, so that was... that's one of the changes they talk about on the commentary, that it originally was Isaac Bashevis Singer,
right?
Who is a Nobel winner as well.
I believe he's the only Nobel literature winner who wrote entirely in Yiddish.
Wow. Yes.
Really? And so, a dying language that has lots of words that you actually know and you don't realize it. Like oy vey, or schmooze, or schmaltz.
Don't be a schmendrick, Chris.
I'm not a schmendrick.
Or tuchus.
Putz, Yutz, Tuchus.
Mishugana,
Mishigas.
I read the Michael Chabon book, The Yiddish Policeman's Union.
There's a lot of it there.
Yeah, and he was inspired because he read a book called Say It in Yiddish, which was just a kid's book about learning, about trying to pass on Yiddish to another generation.
Yeah,
Shmata.
I use that all the time, though. It means rag.
I shouldn't say that, though, right?
It actually means rag, and it comes from a lot of Jews working in what they call the rag trade, or, you know, working as tailors or clothing business.
So,
like
Hiddle. So they had Singer as the line. Like, they recorded Jackie Mason saying it, and, you know, this episode, like you said, aired in October 91. July 91 was when Singer died, and so they're like, shit, we've got to change this. Changed it to Saul Bellows, who is a much more secular writer, and they say, like, they just couldn't think of another... They did think it was weird that a rabbi would care so much about a very secular Jewish writer, though. He still is a Nobel Prize winning.
There's a few more things going on in this deli. There's so much stuff happening in this deli scene. We have Doris Grau making another appearance.
Woo!
The great "Watch how fast I go."
Love that line.
Yeah, it's a great line. And Krusty the Clown has what I feel is a joke about Jerry Lewis when the waitress played by Doris Grau is questioning whether or not he's going to receive this this French award. He's like, 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong. And I think that is a joke about Jerry Lewis because there were a lot of jokes about the French liking him back then.
Totally.
And Francois Mitterrand was the president of France at that time. He was there from 1981 to 1995.
It is wonderful that the kids win the day. When Hyman back just with rabbinical text in Jewish literature.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things that I love about Judaism is that, like, Christianity, you know, it's so much about faith, you know, and you just you know, there's a certain amount of like, just believe, stop questioning, just believe. And in Judaism, you're encouraged to argue about everything.
I call bullshit.
You know, the stereotype is two Jews, three opinions. You're supposed to argue and ask why to get a better and deeper understanding. And eventually you'll answer all your questions somehow and your faith will be that much stronger.
That's why I love this clip.
And so, the best charity is to give and not let other people know.
But what if your example encourages others to give?
Speaking of charity, Rabbi Krestovsky, don't you think it's time you forgave your son?
Don't you understand that my boy broke my heart? He turned his back on our traditions, on our faith, and on me. Get out of here, you little Pisher.
Pisher.
Yeah. Basically, he called him... he literally called him a pisser. So he's saying that, you know, he's so young, he still pees in his pants.
Though Hyman's also a moil. Like, Bart's at a bris.
Yeah,
he's about the time of the place.
I mean, I guess, well, can a rabbi be a moil? Or most moils rabbis?
All moils are rabbis. Not all rabbis are moils.
Is that a Socrates quote?
I thought I wasn't allowed to say that.
Yeah, no, it's true. That is a dedicated job. That is all they do.
I would hope so.
Go
it's very dangerous
and,
work.
Yeah, and perform circumcisions on newborn, you know, eight-day-old baby boys. That's a professional gig, so, you know, they know what they're doing.
I can cut up a dick.
They got that down to a science. Man, they work fast. I've seen them work, and it's just, boom, done.
How about that famous Jewish theologian that wins the day?
Maimonides? I don't think this works. I do like when Lisa, right before this, says, I'm not going to learn ancient Hebrew.
Yeah. And the writers don't really buy the solution anyways. They admit, like, we needed a way out, so this was our way out.
Bart, I am not gonna learn ancient Hebrew. Rabbi, did not a great man say, and I quote, the Jews are a swinging bunch of people. I mean, I've heard of persecution, but what they went through is ridiculous. But the great thing is, after thousands of years of waiting and holding on and fighting, they finally made it. End quote.
Oh, I never heard the plight of my people phrased so eloquently. Who said that, Rabbi Hillel?
Nope.
It was Judah the Pious.
Nope.
Maimonides.
Nope.
Oh, I got it. The Dead Sea Scrolls.
I'm afraid not, Rabbi. It's from Yes, I Can by Sammy Davis Jr. An entertainer. Like your son.
The Candyman? If a farmer could think that way, maybe I'm completely upside down on this whole problem. Oh, all the years of joy that I've lost. Why? Because of my stubborn ways.
Think about that next time you're a dick.
Yeah, and that book was written in 1965 when Sammy Davis Jr. was, I think, at the top of his career.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Did he convert?
Oh,
he did. Yeah, he got in a really bad car accident where he lost one of his eyes.
Sandler song.
Right, and he had some sort of like spiritual awakening and decided Judaism was the answer for him. So he got a black, one-eyed, short Jewish guy, and he's an amazing entertainer.
One of the greatest entertainers ever.
Just
like, he's
all around entertainer. It's such a shame. So much of his stuff is not available because he had a lot of bad investments and he had a huge tax bill. And there's like no real profit in re-releasing a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, I think
and
most of the
such
stuff.
Such a shame.
Most of the stuff you'd see him in now is like, I guess if you watch the original Ocean's 11, he's
yeah,
in that.
There you
he's
go.
In. He did a lot of
Cannonball
the stage
Run,
stuff.
Baby.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him pulling out his like Star of David necklace or whatever in Cannonball Run. That movie's balls.
It makes me mad.
Great.
People would rather remember Frank Sinatra when I'm pretty sure he's had people killed and he did beat up Mia Farrow. He's like the worst human being who
not
was allowed to be famous. Yeah,
what a great guy. I know. It's true. I mean, hey, I'm sure Sammy Davis has.
But yeah, the Candyman things, because he released a version of that the Candyman song from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory as a single, and it is really corny.
That's what Mason knows him as.
Candyman.
That song was so corny. Same was his. He did Mr. Tambourine Man too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did covers of a lot of things that were really bad.
I mean, hey, the 70s were bad.
Entertainer. I don't even know if I know him as a singer. He's just like. Even in Cannonball Run, like, the dude's funny as fuck.
He was really funny. He could dance.
Yeah,
he could sing.
He could do impressions. Like, Sammy Davis Jr.
I'm not going to learn ancient Hebrew is my line of the show.
So what happens next is one of many references The Simpsons does to the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis reunion.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to begin approaching that.
Oh, boy.
Sammy Davis Jr. was a natural segue, Bob.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the back.
I wasn't even trying.
In the 60s, Martin and Lewis were a comedy duo where Dean Martin had been famous on his own, and Jerry Lewis was a rising comic star. Mm-hmm. But then them together was really funny because you have this, like, 40-year-old, like, drunk lounge lizard next to a...
a much, much younger entertainer who was getting, frankly, a lot more, you know, acclaim and a lot more laughs.
And so they broke up. Dean Martin wasn't into that anymore. And then I think it was in the early 80s on the telethon, they got back together. And immediately Jerry Lewis is making fun of them again, and Dean Martin's, like, getting uncomfortable, like, I don't want to be joked about. I'm Dean Martin.
He always understood. We haven't seen each other in 25 years.
Oh, I love you, son.
I love you too, Daddy.
I do love that we haven't seen each other in 25 years because the audience doesn't know that. Like, we at home know that. All the kids are like, who is this man? He's like, oh, my dad's here. And he's like, 25 years.
That animation you just don't see on The Simpsons ever because he pulled a total Daffy Duck, Chuck Jones squash and stretch and gets directly inside the camera.
It does have that Brad Bird touch. And I do like the we're not doing the spotlight bit gag where he keeps trying to step into the spotlight. It's like, we're not doing the spotlight bit.
The father-son stuff at the end really got to me. I'm actually getting tingles now. Like, I was just like, I don't know, the dad and their son making up. It got to me. I did love, by the way, the Krusty slowly punching his way through his thing, like, bleh.
Oh, and throwing to the Lenny, another Lenny in the show, band leader of Krusty and the Crumbs, the house band.
And actually, that's the Larry Davis experience, at least half of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I have a terrible line of the show.
Oh, what is it?
That's the joke.
Boy, you don't have to follow in my footsteps.
Don't worry, I don't even like using the bathroom after you.
Why, you little...
I
he chokes him and nobody cares. Like, they don't even notice.
I never knew about that. And then I got a best friend at about 8 or 9 years old. And I go over to his house. And every time his dad used the bathroom, I was like, this is fucking terrible. But I guess I was so in tune with whatever my family's bathroom odor was, I never noticed it before. And I would go to my friend's house and be afraid to go to the bathroom as a little kid. And this is the first time I've ever heard that acknowledged, because at the time I didn't think anything was left in the bathroom. You flushed it down. But my friend's dad, old Charlie, would leave such a And I heard this joke. I'm like, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Oh, God. Thank you.
My favorite line is, watch how fast I go. Because I think of that whenever I have shitty bosses who are patronizing. I don't say it. I think it.
Mine's a tough call. When Milhouse breaks down at the beginning of this episode wanting to go home and Krusty won't let them, that's wonderful. I think my line of the show is going to be Lisa saying, you know, we got to hit him where he lives, right in the Judaica.
I do love that too. Yeah. And
like, I love that is their tactic. It's like, we're going to play his game and we're going to beat him at it.
Although, I do actually, there's a great scene during that when Bart is playing with a Noah's Ark pop up book. He's like, save us, Noah. No.
Yeah. I mean, that was me sometimes in studying too. I had a couple times where it's like, okay, the two of you go to the library and study this thing together. One person's reading, I'm like, oh, a pop-up book.
Or everything in this book is going to become the basis of a dick and balls with double O's.
Oh Mein Papa, or Oh My Papa, was a song, a German song, actually, from the 1920s, I believe. Right. But popularized, or actually, it's probably older than that, but it was popularized in the 50s in America by Eddie Fisher, was the singer who sang Oh My Papa, which is actually a reverse of this situation. It is a child singing a tribute to their father, who is a clown.
So what I like about this episode's ending is, I think in season 3 and towards the end of season 2, we saw a lot of schmaltzy endings that were just
Yiddish.
Like, oh yeah, Yiddish. I found out what schmaltz was thanks to Diana. It's like chicken fat spread, right?
Yep.
Okay, thank
it's
you
disgusting.
So much.
I'll never order it.
It's disgusting.
But anyways, like, this episode had a laser targeted amount of schmaltz. Just a tiny amount with jokes spread around it. So I think it works a lot better than, let's say, When Flanders Failed, when it's just like happy singing for 30 seconds, you know? I just think it works a lot better.
No, it's
episode.
Like,
they earn it.
For sure.
They really earn it, and it is still just like 15 seconds, boom, his dad's here, sing song, boom, and we're done, get out of here. Like,
it's a season 3 pacing that really helps sell a more like emotional ending like this,
great
I think.
Episode.
Yeah.
Great episode.
Yeah, a really great episode. Really touched me more than I thought it would, and
did he give you Spilkus?
Spilkus in my Gnecticozoid.
It made me verklempt.
Verklempt,
if anything.
It gave me such naches. That's my favorite, naches.
Do we only know that because of the Mike Myers coffee tour?
I think so.
The South.
Between that and Jay Sherman, who I'm not even sure was Jewish.
No, he was.
Okay.
I remember when he went to, he tried to find out if Doris was his mother, and he goes to the orphanage where he was adopted. He goes to the orphanage where he was adopted, and he says, am I Jewish? What do you think? I don't know.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but it just the ending sting of this reminded me of The Critic. The Critic had those chimey endings several times. Like, we know this isn't very satisfying, but it's supposed to be funny.
This could be where Al Jean and Mike Reese just fell in love with small Yiddish expressions, because Jay Sherman again would just break out into Jewish songs and say Achim, and
play Avon Agil in a raisin box.
Well, Mike Reese is Jewish. It's Al Jean is one of the, he's on the low end of the level. He's like, every Irish joke, he's like, hey, I'm Irish, I'll make fun of Irish, but.
So yeah, that was Talking Simpsons. Thanks so much for listening. I've been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. Also read my work at US Gamer, and I also do a classic gaming podcast called Retronauts. You can find that every week at retronauts.com or usgamer.net. Thank you.
LaserTimePodcast.com. I don't want to go off too much because there's a lot of good stuff there, including LaserTime 30, 2010, and this show. But we also have a Patreon that made this possible, and you got 13 episodes waiting for you there at the low cost of $5, including movie commentaries, bonus shows, and video commentaries.
And our Season 2 Spectacular, where we wrap up Season 2, and Bob finds a gem, a hidden gem that even Chris and I had never heard of. You guys got to listen to it. Ooh. And you can only get that $5 a month. Patreon.com/LaserTime.
Diana.
I am on Twitter at ListenANerd, and I'm on 302010. And if you could rate and review the show on iTunes, that would be great, so everyone can see it. We can all join together.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week with the brand new Treehouse of Horror.
Ooh.
It's going to be good.
Shalom.
Lenny, a little reconciliation music, if you please. Oh, mein Papa, to me he was so wonderful. Oh, mein Papa, come on, Dad, to me he was so good. You know the words. No one could be so gentle and so lovable.
I got something in my eye.
Here, take my hanky.
Blech.
He always understood. We haven't seen each other in 25 years.
Oh, I love you, son.
I love you too, Daddy.